But I want to start by reading a passage in the book of John, and then we will begin here. John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 8. And as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it in the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." And this word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. And I am praying, I want you to discover something through this passage that can help bring clarity to what you're going through. It can help bring clarity and explain how God works in your circumstances when it seems like God is not making any sense whatsoever. And I want you to discover what can lead you and direct you to what your next step and next action needs to be. And the problem is that as we read this passage, we are kind of like the man in the story. We're totally blind to the deeper principle of how this story applies to us. We can be totally blind to it. So to get you into a place to see maybe something you've never seen before in this passage, I've got to adjust your perspective a little bit. I've got to adjust our focus just a little bit. Because as we're going through there's going to be this moment that as you look at this from an adjusted perspective, an adjusted focus, that it's going to click. And you're going to kind of have that aha moment. It's like, oh, that's what he was doing. Oh, that's what was going on. And I pray that every one of us, maybe different times throughout the service today, but before we all leave today, that we will all have that revelation of a deeper understanding of what God was doing in this story. And more importantly, how this story is exactly like us. And we can see ourselves in this story and see how God is working in more wonderful and powerful ways than we even imagined. All right? So turn to somebody and tell them you're about to get your vision adjusted. And you can be seated. Okay, here we go. When I was in sixth grade, I had a teacher who was blind. Now, I have to admit that when I first discovered that fact, my assumption was, this is going to be the best school year ever. I mean, we're going to be able to get away with everything. I can come and go as I please. I can pass notes. I mean, come on, I can pass a football. If I want, right? I mean, what's he going to do? Forget about doing any homework. How's he going to know? I mean, come on. This is going to be great. I can sit where I want to sit. I could probably just leave if I wanted to leave. So I figured I had this plan where, you know, I'd come to class. You know, he'd take attendance. Present. Todd is here. And then I'd leave. Go have lunch a couple of times. Spend the rest of the day out at recess. That this was going to be the best school year ever. It was going to be awesome. I mean, come on. A blind teacher. How cool is that? It's going to be excellent. And all those assumptions came to a crashing halt about 30 seconds into our first class when my blind teacher yelled at me to get my head off the desk. And why hadn't I got my materials out ready to go in class? What? He was blind, but his other senses had gotten so good, he was like some kind of superhero, all right? There's a blind superhero, like Daredevil or something. It's like he's got all these superhuman powers. He was like this. I mean, he couldn't see, but I mean, you couldn't get away with anything. It was crazy. He could tell if you were passing notes. It's like, hey, stop that. And the weird thing is he didn't have to be looking at you. His back could be to the board. I mean, he could tell whether your books were out. He could tell if you were whispering to someone. and usually tell what you were saying, which was even scarier. It's like, would you stop talking? Class is going to be done in 10 minutes. Now, come on. I mean, forget about leaving your seat. I mean, that is just not even a possibility. In fact, he was so good, there was many a serious conversation out on the playground of whether he was faking it or not just to get us in trouble. It's like, you know, I think he can see, but he just gets us in trouble because he sets us up. But it was crazy. Needless to say, we didn't get away with anything in that class. And there was really only one area where his blindness really was evident. It was when he had to move from place to place. Now, when he was sitting behind his desk, he was like some kind of super security drone. I mean, you couldn't get away with anything. I mean, he was fully in charge. But when it came time to move, it became very evident that there were some struggles in his life. He had to feel, make sure the door was open or closed. He had a red and white cane that he would begin to tap and move down the hallway. And if he came into contact with something, he had to figure out the shape and size of it so he could navigate around it. That if anyone watching him could see that it was very evident that when he was trying to move from one place to another, that this was not an area of strength. This was an area of weakness for him. He had incredible strengths. He had incredible abilities, but mobility was a weakness because of his blindness. It was tough to move. In fact, the more congested that it got, the tougher it was for him to move. In fact, during fire drills and tornado drills, it was up to us, the students, to make sure that our teacher got to where he needed to be. And let me just say this, you really had to pay attention because otherwise you could just walk him right into a door or a wall, of which I apologized for, and I said, it has nothing to do with the fact that I had just gotten in trouble with class, I promise, right? But incredible strengths, but yet walking and mobility was an area of weakness for him. All right? Now, you don't have to be blind to understand this. I want you to do something. This is an all skate, all play already. So everyone just close your eyes. Close your eyes. Come on, everybody. I can see if you're peeking or not. God knows, no peeking. All right, now, I want you to turn to someone slowly, right? And just ask them a question. Just ask them a question. If somebody asks you a question, just answer it. So turn to somebody and ask him a question, just in the conversation. It's okay, answer him. It's okay, come on. All right, okay, you can open your eyes, right? Okay, now here's the thing. With just a small amount of inconvenience, you can have a perfectly normal conversation, right? Now, when you closed your eyes, you didn't forget your name, right? You're like, oh, who am I? I can't see, I don't know, okay, right? You didn't forget how to talk. You didn't forget where you were. No, you had all of your strengths and abilities with you. It's just that you couldn't see. Now, it worked fine. It worked fine. You could talk. You could have a conversation going on. All things are fine. But if I asked you to now close your eyes and make your way to your vehicle, which I'm not, we would have a mess, wouldn't we? People be tripping over each other, running into the wall. Somebody inevitably would fall down the stairs. It would not be a pretty sight. Now, you have all kinds of strengths and abilities. You're talking all those things that you are comfortable with. But because you can't see, mobility is a weakness. Okay? Now, again, there's this comfort factor. And they say that that you have a trust factor of about 10 steps, even in an open area. After that, you start slowing down. So I tried it. It's like, oh, baloney. So I went out to the parking lot, no cars, no nothing. I said, okay, 10 steps, I can do this, right? So you start walking. It's like 1, 2, 3. And all of a sudden, your mind starts kicking in. It's like, what if I miss something? What if there's a pothole here that I didn't see? And we start slowing down. Till after about the 20th step, still, you know, half mile from anything, I'm like, you know, it's a weakness. It's slowing down because when I can't see, mobility is now asking me a question. I can talk. I can answer. I know who I was. I can still, you know, add 2 and 2 and get 5. I can do all of those things. Okay, you're awake. All right. But the cognitive abilities are still there. But mobility is a weakness. All right. Now, we've just adjusted your focus a bit, and I want us to now revisit this story. Okay? Here in this story, we see Jesus coming out of church, and he encounters a blind man who is begging. Now, this wasn't an unusual circumstance, that people in need would often congregate around the church, hoping that the lessons of generosity taught inside would be given and pointed and exemplified on them on the outside. So they're hoping, man, pray about generosity, pray about, and, you know, teach about giving, because when they come out, we need help. And so they would be around the church, and they would be around the doors of the church, and they would come out asking for help. And Jesus is coming out of church, and he comes in contact with this blind man, and there is this encounter there, and this is where we pick this story up. He's coming out of church, recognizes that this blind man is here, and right away, the disciples step up and try to act really smart by asking one of the dumbest questions in the Bible. They said, Rabbi, okay, here we go, we're going to be real smart here. Rabbi, said, who sinned, this man or his parents? He was born blind. Now, let me just adjust your focus a little bit. The first part of this question, when would this man would have had to sin if he was born blind? Think about that one. And you realize how stupid the question was. What did this man do before he was born that he was born blind? What did he do wrong? Like, what? You know, was he a twin and he beat up his brother, you know, before they were born? Really? Oh. And they said, well, you know, if it wasn't him, then surely it must have been his parents, right? Must have been his parents. And the disciples were doing just what we do so often, is this is what we can't explain, we blame. If we can't explain it, we got to blame it. If we don't understand it, it's got to be somebody else's fault, right? Well, if my parents would have raised me different, or, you know, they were out to get my job, all the way up to how could God allow that? And the problem is we start sitting back and acting like it's not our problem when we're dealing with the problem. And we start pushing away the responsibility and eventually the accountability to get the job done. But Jesus steps up and he says, look, okay, neither. He says, look, you know, this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And this is so powerful. Jesus says, look, you're wrong and stupid for asking a question like that. But he goes on to say something that I really don't understand, but yet I've seen it to be true. It's this, is that God can use broken situations to display his glory. God can use trials. God can use struggles in your life as part of his plan for your life. We talked about that a few weeks ago. That God uses the good and the bad. He says, I can use it all. And that gives me hope. That gives me hope. So, okay, God, if I don't associate blame and just sit back and act like it's somebody else's fault, but if I realize that you can use it, then God, show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to do. And he goes on and he says this beautiful passage. Look at what he says. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him that sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. No one can work. And then he says this beautiful thing. While I am in the world, I am the light, just hold that verse, of the world. Oh, what would it have been like to hear Jesus say those words? It's like, oh, look, you're wrong. Nobody sinned, but God is about ready to do something miraculous. It's going to be a bad time ahead, but I'm here, and while I'm here, I am the light of the world. Just, oh, wow, Jesus is so cool. Jesus is so awesome. And imagine being there and hearing those beautiful words of Jesus, and then imagine seeing what happened next. After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva. Okay, now, I tried this, all right? Oh, don't get all holy now. Because I discovered some interesting things about this that bring some color commentary to what happened here. First is that Jesus couldn't do this standing up. Your aim is not that good. Okay, just try it. If you don't believe me, go home and in the privacy of your own backyard, try spitting in the same place twice. You just can't do it, okay? Not standing up. So here, imagine this, that Jesus, I am the light of the world, and then either bends over or gets on his hands and knees and starts spitting. Now, he's got to make mud for both eyes, which is more than a one-spit job. Which means that he says this beautiful passage, I am the light of the world. Hold that thought. Hang on. How many times did he have to spit? My calculation in my experiment was about 10 times. Now, can you imagine? I mean, what did the disciples do? He's like, you okay? You know, did you just swallow a bug? You know, what happened, Jesus? I mean, this great passage, and now you're on your hands and knees just hocking away in the dirt there. And then he goes on, and he went further than I did. I drew the line at spitting. Jesus started to play in it. He began to mix it around. I mean, if your kid did that, you'd get mad at him. I don't think anybody would just sit back, well, he's just being like Jesus. It's like, no, that is so gross. Knock that off. Hey, so what Jesus is, he's there. He's spitting away. He's playing in it, right? And imagine the reaction. Now, here's something you need to understand, is that spitting was a very symbolic gesture. Spitting in that time that Jesus was in had a lot of resonance to it. It was something that was viewed, I mean, we see it today and it's bad. It was far worse then. In fact, if somebody spit on you, Old Testament law said that you were unclean up to a week. You couldn't go to church. You had to wash all your clothes. You had to separate yourself from your family just because someone spit on you. In the Old Testament times, if you spit on your spouse three times, that constituted a legal divorce. That is the weight associated with spitting. And yet we find in Scripture, Jesus did this all this time. In fact, in the book of Mark, he spits right in some guy's face. We often think Jesus as this very kind of stay in the lines, good church person, got it all together. We would struggle with Jesus. We would struggle with the actions of Jesus. Because Jesus just did things his own way and broke all of those lines that we say, oh, well, that's not right. That's indecent. Jesus says, let me show you what is really right and really wrong. And let me show you that I can use something that is a curse to do something powerful. I can do something that is an insult to do something powerful. Now, we accept this. We read this. And he's like, well, you know, Jesus is about ready to do something good. But this guy, he didn't know the end of the story. And if I could change your focus just a little bit to his perspective, here he is. He's saying, I'm coming needing a miracle, and you've made me more of a spectacle. I mean, Jesus, I came to you because I needed help, and you've actually added more insult and more mess to my life. You ever experienced that? You ever started doing the right thing and it seemed to open up the door on all the wrong things? Started coming to church and your car breaks down. Started giving. You get laid off from your job. Started praying more. And all of a sudden you discover you got more to pray for. You know, God, I came to you looking for a miracle and all I got was more mess. I came to you looking for an answer and all I got was more of a spectacle. I came to you looking for help and all I got seems like an insult. So hold on to that, because what happens next is even more profound, because Jesus then tells them this. So after he spits, makes mud, slaps it on the guy's face, and then he tells him this. He says, get out of here. Get out of here. Go. 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 Well, says the word meant sent, meaning Jesus literally says, get out of my presence and go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, what he didn't say was this. He didn't say, you know what? I know you're blind. And because of that, you have incredible hearing. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to the words that I'm telling you. Because in that area of strength, I'm going to do a miracle in your life. He didn't say, you know, I know that you have a mind that has compensated for your loss of sight. And that you can hear and you can understand and that you can maybe quote back. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to speak. Memorize what I'm about ready to tell you, because in that area of strength, I'm about ready to do a miracle. He didn't say, well, I know there's a strong desire in you to be healed, and so if you just believe, if you just have faith, Jesus says, I'm not going to do anything in your area of strength. But he asked them this question in this command, and the question is this: are you willing to walk in obedience in the area of your weakness? Are you willing to do what I've asked you to do in a hard, difficult area in your life? But Jesus, I'm blind. Mobility is tough for me. I know that. It's crowded. It's going to be tough for me. This is an area of weakness. I know that. But are you willing to be obedient to me in that area that is difficult for you, out of obedience to what I'm asking you to do? Now, if you do the study, this was not a short distance. He didn't say, I'll tell you what, I want you to just turn around and just take two steps back because there's that pool there and wash this off. In fact, the exact measurement is really cool because we have a really great example. So here's what I want you to imagine, that Jesus is in church, okay? He comes to our church and we're done with church and he steps outside and there is a blind man waiting outside. And so Jesus spits in this mud there on the side of over by the side there, makes a great mud pie, slaps the mud in the guy's eyes. And he says, I want you to go and wash in the Fairfax pool. That's the distance. That's almost exactly the distance. Now, how many of you think that you could find your way over to the Fairfax pool with your eyes closed without being hit by a car or ending up in somebody else's house that you didn't intend? Not a lot of us. Again, blindness and mobility are not complementary. This was asking him to do something that was probably the most difficult for him to do. Now, you say, well, he had people. Hang on. Understand how the culture worked is that his people probably brought him there in the morning and left him there till evening and picked him up. This was in the middle of the day. Church was just getting out. People weren't there. There was no cab to call. You couldn't take his little smartphone and call up, you know, Uber or, you know, some driver to get him there. Are you willing to be obedient and walk in your area of weakness? It was out of his comfort zone. It was a struggle. It wasn't his strength. And Jesus asked him to go and do it. And when we begin to see this in a different light, we begin to understand maybe what God is doing in our life. The God, I came to you, but it just seems like more things have happened. I came to you and it just seems like there's stuff going on in my life. I thought this was all going to be easy and I thought this was going to go smooth, but God, now you're asking me to walk and to be obedient to your word in an area that's difficult for me. You're asking me to walk in weakness. And here's the thing. Jesus didn't even finish the job. He's still blind. It wasn't like he said, you know, slap, slap. Now, if you go and wash that off, you'll be able to see clearly. I mean, you can start seeing some things like, oh, wow, I can kind of see where there's mud in my eye. I got to go wash it off. No, he was still blind. Nothing changed. Nothing happened. But he says, are you willing? And in fact, the words is used. Jesus says, get out of my presence. Go. Leave. Go do what I tell you to do. Now, it's a question that we have to face. And it's a question that God asks us. Are you willing to walk in obedience in an area of weakness? Are you willing to do what God says in an area that's difficult? When God's word just says, like, oh, come on. There's other areas where it would be easier for me. I know, but do you trust me? See, this wasn't the completed deal. This man didn't know the end of the story. And stopping short of obedience would have turned Jesus into the antithesis of the story. That stopping anywhere short of obedience would have made God the bad guy in this. It's like, look at what he did. He insulted me. He allowed all this mess. He embarrassed me. And then he asked me to do something difficult that he knew that I would struggle with. What kind of cruel God is this? What kind of horrible God is this? And so this man was faced with the same choices that we're faced with. when God asks us? Number one, he could just say, I'm just going to deal with the mess. Right? Okay, you spit in, you know, spit in the ground, you put mud in my eye. You know what? Let me just get the mud out of my eye. All right? I'm just going to stay here, just going to use my shirt, do whatever. I'm going to deal with what's going on. What you've asked me is too difficult, so I'm just going to deal with the situation myself. What you've asked me to do, I don't want to do, so I'm just going to try to fix it myself. You've asked me to live away. He's asked me to conduct my life a certain way. You've asked me to conduct my finances a certain way. You've asked me to conduct my morality a certain way. You've asked me to be generous. You've asked me to be forgiving. You've asked me to your word places all of these things. But that is difficult, and I've got a mess. So you know what? I'm not going to deal with that. I've got problems in that area. I'm just going to deal with it, but I don't want to go all the way and do what you've told me to do because that's tough. That's difficult. That's an area of hardship for me. I'm just going to deal with the mud. Here's what I know. I mean, if he could have wiped the mud out, do you think he would have seen? No. Didn't work. See, Jesus, you failed. See? We have the same option. The other one, he says, I'm just going to keep in the Lord's presence and just keep asking. Just going to keep asking. Just appear saying, oh, God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. Go and do what I tell you to do. No, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. Be obedient. No, I'm going to be, you know, just... going to keep asking, keep worshiping. I'll just keep showing up to church. What do you mean, want me to do something? Are you kidding me? That's hard work. I'm just going to come to church. Let's sing. Let's sing another song. Got another prayer request. Remember that need? Remember that problem? God says, are you willing to walk in your area of weakness out of obedience? This is what he was faced with. This is what he was faced with. He could just walk away and blame God. I asked him to heal me and he didn't. He healed all these other people. Why didn't he heal me? He's touched other people and they were instantly healed. How come he's asking me to do something that is difficult for me? And in every one of those situations, he would have stayed blind. Or he could have gone blind. Gone on that path that God sent him, walking in obedience out in our weakness. Now, we see in the story, that's exactly what he did. And here's what we know. This is the beauty of it. And this is how it all kind of fits together. That to walk in his weakness, he had to use his strengths. I can hear. I can talk. I can feel. I can rely upon my memory to get me there. But I'm still walking in my weakness. I'm doing something that is difficult, but the strengths that I have are making a path for me. Now, if we could begin to apply this to our own life, God asks us to do something, and we're saying, okay, that's an area that's going to be difficult for me. You mean I got to forgive? I got to let you forgive? You got to mean all these things. But Lord, I'm going to obey, but there is something about what I have, a strength in me that gives me the ability to do what is difficult for me. God, you know this is difficult for me, but I'm a worshiper, and so you know what? I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to use that to facilitate strength in me so I can do what you've asked me to do. You know, God, I serve and I love working with people, so I'm going to work with people, and that is giving me strength and giving me hope and giving me help to do this in this area that I'm being obedient to you, and that God uses our strengths to help us obey in our weakness. And it's so often we look at something that we look as difficult and hard for us, and we say, I can't, but God says, I have given you everything that you need to do what I'm asking you to do. That when God's word and God leads us and God challenges us, it is not something that is impossible. He says, you have everything that you need to do what I'm asking you to do. And so often we look at the area of weakness and we factor out the other strengths. We want God to work in our strength, but we don't want to have to use our strengths to move in our weakness. Say, God, here, I'm here and I showed up for church. I got great attendance. Heal me today. But God says, oh, can you be faithful in this other area? Oh. when we begin to understand what God is really doing here, all of a sudden it shines a light in our lives. It's like, okay, wait a second. Maybe I never looked at my life that way. Maybe I never looked at that struggle that way. Maybe God is setting me up to do something great in my life. That if I stop now, I'm going to miss it. That if I pull back now, I'm going to miss it. So you know what? I'm going out there. And okay, feeling my way around. I'm going to have to listen harder than I've ever listened. I'm going to have to concentrate more than I've ever had to concentrate. I'm going to have to use what God has given me more than I've ever had to use it, to be obedient to when God asks me to trust him. To trust him. And here's the beautiful thing, if we can put that last verse up, is that when God sends us away and asks us to do something, it is because he has an even more compelling reason for us waiting for us to return. He says, I want you to go do this, and it seems like God is shoving us away. He says, but I am sending you to a situation and a miracle that will make you want to return no matter what. Because he says he left blind, and he returned seeing. God did the miracle. So you would ask him, so was it worth it? Are you kidding me? I was blind. I can see. Was it worth what you went through? Are you kidding me? It doesn't even compare. Was it worth going out and kind of looking kind of strange as you're fumbling toward that and trying to get to where you're going and asking people for help and stumbling along the way? Are you kidding me? God was doing his greatest work, and he asked me, do you trust me? Are you willing to walk in obedience in an area that's difficult for you because your miracle is waiting for you on the other side? Do you trust me? That's the way God works. That's how God operates in our life. So I want to bring it home. In your bulletin, there's a couple questions on the back that we look at this. And the first one is this. It says, what's an area of weakness for me? Where is there a place that I'm struggling? Where is there a place that I hurt? Where is there a place where I've got wrong feelings? Where is there a place that I don't want to give up? Where is a place that I fear losing? Where is there a place in me that's a weakness? I got lots of other strengths. I got lots of other areas where I can point to and say everything is great there, it's good there, I'm fine there. But where is that in my life? And secondly, what does obedience look like? When I look to God's word, what does it say? How do I conduct my life? What do I need to do? Do I need to forgive somebody? Do I need to give in a way? Do I need to serve? Do I need to walk away from something? Do I need to begin something? What is that in your life? And thirdly, what would a miracle in that area look like in your life? What would the miraculous, what would the impossible that only God could do look like in your life? And then we're faced with the question, this, that am I willing to walk in obedience in my area of weakness so that I can see fulfilled what God has for me? 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing, and he says this. He sums it all up. It's so beautiful. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. On the outside, that's a weakness for us. On the outside, there's struggles. On the outside, but they're saying God is doing something in us. He goes on. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, our obedience to God in those areas that are hard, taking that step, having that conversation, beginning that process, going through life in that way, it's just for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I want you to go over to the pool and wash, because when you get there, I'm going to do the impossible in your life. I want you to follow what I'm asking you to do, because when you get there, you're going to see that it is a blessed life. It is a miraculous life. It is what you've been praying for. He goes on. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And he's saying there's more to what you have. It's more to what you experience. There is something greater going on here. And he goes on, look at this. Or we walk by faith and not by sight. God, that looks like it's going to be a tough road. Stop looking at it. Trust me. God, what you've asked me to do is tough. Stop measuring it. Trust me. God, I know that doing the right thing is going to be hard. Don't judge it. Trust me. Walk by faith, not by sight. Am I willing to trust him? Am I willing to do what he says? Now, the beauty of this principle is that we could read this story and we say, oh, wow, Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a healer. But God is a healer. God is a miraculous worker. But when we begin to understand how God works in lives, all of a sudden we see and begin to uncover where we have a problem with God. God, heal me. And he says, here's some mud. God, heal me. And he says, here's some direction in your life. God, heal me. Here's what I'm asking you to do. But that's difficult. Yeah. Yeah. But the miraculous happens in our obedience. When we do what God says, then the promises of God apply. When we do and we conduct our life in the way that God says to live and that God says to conduct our lives, God's promises never fail. Our problem is that we're not willing to walk in obedience in our area of weakness. And therefore, we never experience the miracle that God has for us. What does God have for you? What does God have in store for you if you would just begin to live a life that trusts him? If you would just begin to say, okay, God, oh, this is scary, but I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. Trusting him. And the crazy thing is that if we were to go around the room and give you a mic and ask you to say what it is, I don't think we'd have two answers the same. And we're not going to do that, all right? Because some of you, that would be the weakness, all right? It's like, oh, I don't want to do that. But our stories are all different. Our situations are all different. We're in need of different miracles, but yet do you trust him? What does that look like? And am I willing to be obedient and say, okay, God, I'll go. I'll go in my blindness. I'll go in my weakness. But I'll do what you've asked me to do. Because I know this, there's a God, and he doesn't lie. And he has something so incredible for you if you just trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Turn to somebody and tell him, trust him. Turn to somebody else and tell him, go blind. God says go. Don't be afraid to go blind. I can't see. Okay, but we're going. We're going. We're going. We're going. We're going to take this step. Okay, God, we're going to take this step. Okay, God, we're not there yet. Oh, ran into a wall. Oh, sorry. Stepped on your toe. Oh, sorry. Oh, I got to listen better. Oh, I got to try better. I got to think harder. I got to use the strength, God. Oh, what, is this the pool? Oh, I'm finally here. And he said that if I wash and oh, my goodness. I can see. Is that what my kids look like? Is that what my mama looks like? Is that what a tree looks like? Oh, my goodness. Oh, the life that I never thought I could experience, I experienced because I was willing to trust him no matter what. Job summed it up so beautifully in that one little phrase. He says, hey, even if he kills me, I'm going to trust him. Even if God says, I want you to die, I'm still going to trust you because I know you have what is best for me. And it's that kind of faith that we see the miraculous in our life. Are you willing to take that step? Some of you, you've been standing here with mud on your face for a long time. Some of you have been standing there and you're a mess. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, you look funny. It's just happening. And God's saying, I am wanting to heal you. Go do what I'm telling you to do. And you're like, oh, it's hard. Oh. Some of you just need to leave. You need to leave. And go and do what God has asked you to do. And I love what God says. Some of you need to stop praying and start doing. Some of you need to get away from what you consider the presence of God and go and be obedient to the word of God. Because that's where your miracle lies. And you know what? We can't wait to celebrate with you. We can't wait to celebrate because God's wanting to do something great. It's time to move. It's time to do it. And trust God that you trust him for your eternal salvation. Can you trust him for what you need to do next? Because here's the thing. If you spend any amount in prayer and allowing God to speak in your heart, you know what you need to do. And some of you are fighting that right now because you know what you need to do, and it is something you don't want to do. Well, let's sing another song. Let's take another offering. I'm all for that. Let's just move past this because I don't want to deal with this. Oh, but but here's the beautiful thing. It's what's going to take you to your greatest miracle. And I promise this, I money back guarantee, that if you will do what God has asked you to do, when you get there and you see what God has for you, there is not a person that will say, well, that wasn't worth it. No regrets in obeying God. Can you imagine that guy said, man, I walked and made, you put mud on my face and all I got was my lousy eyesight back. Jesus said, well, I need to heal you because you're obviously brain damaged as well, right? Begin to see it like what Paul was saying. Hey, this is temporary. This is a small thing compared to what God has for you. And this is the cool thing. If you're seeing something that looks difficult in your life, then how great is the other side? If it's something like, oh, that's going to be hard for me, then how great is the other side that God has for you? Man, I've seen this played out in so many ways in my life. I can stand up here and tell story after story of how that I did wrong, that I needed to apologize to, that I didn't want to apologize to, that had every reason to just yell at me and tell me what an idiot I was and go to them and say, you know what, I was wrong and I need your forgiveness and I was an idiot and would you forgive me? I, if you know me, that is not my nature, all right? that's not me. But yet, okay, God, do it. Is one of my best friends today. You know, that person has blessed my life so much because of that relationship. And they laugh at it. We shouldn't even be friends, but you know what? I like you. Why? Walking with this. We've had times when, you know, we were going along and our financial situation took a turn. Didn't even take a turn. It just died. Didn't take a turn for the worse. It just fell over dead. We're like, okay, now what are we going to do? So what do we say? Well, you know, okay, we look at God's word, and God's word says, you know what, we're still generous. And so you know what we did? And again, I'm bragging on God because this sounds crazy. In times when we've had lack, do you know what we've done? We've increased our giving. And you're going, that is the stupidest thing ever. I know, it is stupid. But God's word says that you can't outgive God. So you know what we started doing? We just like, well, you know what? We'll just up our tithing percentage. Well, you have less. I know, but we're going to bump it up a number. And do you know what happened? God actually told the truth. God makes a way where there is no way. I can't explain it. So we haven't tithed 10% in a long time because we've just had all kinds of problems. We're like, well, move it up a notch. And you know what? God holds true. God does the impossible. Situation after situation after situation where it looked so hard and I said, okay, God, I don't want to do it. And some of it I did quick. Some of it I waited a good long time with mud on my face till finally I trusted God. And here's the thing. God comes through every time. And I look at my life now and say, I am so blessed. I am blessed beyond measure, not because of my ability, because simply those times when I was willing to say yes to whatever God asked me to do. The other side is incredible. So, for all of you today who have mud on your face, and God just said, get out of here, go do what I tell you to do, this is something you got to wrestle with. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to receive your miracle? Or are you just going to stand there and look silly? Turn to somebody. Tell them, don't look silly. Do what God says to do. Because I'm with you. I'm with you. We're going to do this together. Let's stand.